have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening and welcome to the Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life from Ministry to Marketplace. I am your host, Loretta Petit. Well, it's Thursday and we're thankful. Hallelujah. God is good to us every single solitary day of our lives. Well, you know, I want to talk about a couple of things today. I want to talk about how to find joy in our trials, but I also want to give you some pointers on how to brand yourself, because we are doing a lot of things in this day and time. God has given us the grace to just bloom, and we're blooming, but we're never lifting ourselves off the ground. We're writing books that we're not selling because we don't know how. We are, you know, doing wonderful things, like my child found some months ago that I had another entry to my IMDb. So I'm not really marketing the fact that I do voiceovers and that I do enjoy stage acting and things like that. But whatever it is that you do, many of you are great writers, you are consultants, you are coaches. But I want to talk about how to brand yourself. So that's going to be the part two on today. But, of course, before we do any of that, we always like to go to God in prayer. So let us pray. Father God, we come now to thank you for this blessed opportunity to connect with women everywhere. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace, oh God, to be all that we can be in you. And Father God, to know how to take a break, to know how to rest, to know how to be quiet, to know how to hear from you. So God, we thank you today. We thank you for this platform. We thank you, Lord God, for Kimmy Kim, your daughter, my awesome producer. Dear God, we thank you for the Elation magazine and radio family. God, we give you praise, oh God. We know that all that we're doing to your glory. So we're asking, Father, that you continue to shine your light on us, continue to bless us and use us. Father God, we lift your name high. We give you praise this day. And every day, it's in the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, guide our thoughts and our tongue today, that someone may be inspired to go on, someone may be inspired to birth their business, somebody may be encouraged to keep on keeping on and not give up. God, we pray that even somebody may decide they want to make you their choice. We give you praise now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So all righty then, here we are. We're at this Thursday, the last day of the month of March, the last day of Women's History Month. And there are so many women, I believe, in most of our lives who have touched us with that positive touch. Some touches may have been for a moment. Some touches may have been for weeks. Some may even have been for years, but we thank God for all of those touches. Some may have been negative, but we learned lessons, and some, of course, were positive, and we're so grateful for that positive touch. It may have come just at the right time. So we give a high five and lift those ladies up, whomever they are. I know I have quite a few coming up, and I'm grateful to each and every one of them. Women's History Month, it doesn't take us just back to the 17th or the 18th century or the 16th. No, there are women making history even as we speak. Many people that may listen to this podcast, you have put your mark, and you have touched so many lives that you, of course, made an impact on a national scale, but there are those of us who make an impact on a personal level. You're in somebody's history, in their mind, in their memory, and that's a beautiful thing. I pray that it was a positive touch. But if not, I pray that a lesson was learned on both sides of that touch. So having said that, let's talk a little bit about joy in trials. Now, I know on next week I'm going to bring forth some of the discussion from what we're going to do on tomorrow night in the clubhouse. We're going to talk about overcoming the affliction of loneliness. So there's going to be some discussion on that. And I'll be able to talk a little bit about that on next Thursday. But I would be remiss if I don't talk about this week because I missed it last week. On last Thursday, I was watching the confirmation hearing of Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown Jackson. I'll mess up her name, Ketanji. I believe that's her name, Ketanji. Ketanji Brown Jackson. So I was watching her confirmation hearing on last Thursday, but I failed to bring it to the platform that evening. I do want to say that they did all kinds of things to try and trip her up, to make her say something that would embarrass her or make her look like she is not focused, to make her look like she was not ready, that she was not prepared. But I want to give a shout out today to Ms. Ketanji, I should say attorney, Her Excellency, Ketanji Brown Jackson, because I'm telling you, she did a fabulous job at that hearing. So I just want to give this wonderful woman her props. She did an excellent job. I'm very, very proud of her. And as a sidebar, let me quickly say, she went to Harvard the same years that my little cousin, Dr. Angela Brown LeBlanc Ernest, went there. And at the time, she was Ketanji Brown. At the time, my little cousin was Angela Brown. So they were the two brown girls on campus. Okay, a play on words. You get it? Two brown girls on campus at Harvard. So hats off to her, and just excited about, you know, her path and her journey and where she has yet to go. So hats off to her. So let's get back into the topic. Let's get to the topic. I was trying to start joy in trials. James 1 and 2 says, you must consider it the purest joy, my brothers, when you are involved in various trials. And, of course, this is from a different version of the Bible. And I want to just say this, that we find it very hard to consider having joy in trials when we're encountering all of these different things that's coming at us and the situations that seem to sit on us. And, you know, if the Lord says that we need to do that or we should do that, then that means that these things what are doable. I want to consult a book called Abiding in Christ to share just a few excerpts in your hearing on today. I would chuckle right there because I find it funny that people say that a lot in your hearing. Of course, if I'm going to read it, I'm praying that you are listening in your hearing. Okay, so this author, I like to give people their props. I learned that in journalism school. Cynthia Heald, she said she soon realized that her attitude toward experiencing trials determined whether or not that she truly believes it is a joy to go through them. If she considered them over unwelcome burdens, then she said she looked at them in resentment, and she missed any opportunity to experience the joy of God that he offers in the midst of them. So when we're going through our trials, we certainly want to take those times to experience God in a special way. I know for me, in my being squeezed, you know, I'm pouring out to God. I'm calling out to God. I'm leaning and depending. I'm searching for his presence. Everything's got to be turned off. I got to hear from God. I just want to, you know, sit in his presence, and that's a special experience. It's a really special experience for people who don't take time to be quiet and meditate and talk to the Father even. It's a special experience. And she said the joy of encountering hardship spring from knowledge that God is at work in our lives to make us more like him. It is our choice to trust God with our lives, so that steadfastness under pressure enables us to mature in Christ, fully prepared to be useful to the Lord. And let me say here, our growth spurts do not happen when things are going well. We find the most growth, my friends, when we are in a tumult, or when we are in a pressure cooker situation, when the brook has dried up, when people are acting funny, you know, when they're acting strange, when they're acting like they don't have any experience with you, they don't know you, they stop calling, they don't text, they don't see about you, all those times, and you're wondering, well, how are they doing, what they're going through, how are they feeling, and you're concerned about them, but it seems like they have no concern. You have reached out, you've called, you have texted, you've called again, maybe you sent a note in their DM on one of the social media platforms. You've done all of those things, but never once did they take the initiative to reach out to you. And so you're saying, God, what have I done? What's going on? Or maybe you misstepped and you did something in a relationship, and you seem like even though you apologize, ask for forgiveness, nothing seems to change. And so in all of those situations, God said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. You know, especially when you have taken the right steps, you have done what the Word of God has asked you to do or directed you to do, the Lord says to count it all joy. And when situations come upon us, we're tempted. I remember as a young woman, you know, it was a whole lot of promiscuity going on. And we were in situations, and, you know, sometimes I would think about the scripture. Not to say I didn't make mistakes. Yes, I did. But I would feel, of course, the Holy Spirit just beating up on me because you knew better. But you're in situations, and he says, hey, listen, those temptations are going to come, but I'm giving you a way of escape, and we need to count it all joy. But instead, sometimes we don't. We go with it. Then we get beat up by the Holy Spirit. I'm using that word very loosely because the Holy Spirit is not violent in that way, not in my life, but certainly does remind us what thus says God and how we have just treated the Word of God in our situations. But, you know, you feel sorry, you feel bad, you know, you feel guilty and all of those kinds of things. But that's not the only kind of temptations that come up on us now. A temptation to lie about a situation because of your loyalty to somebody else. A temptation to not speak to people because of your loyalty to somebody else. You know, how we become enemies because it seems like somebody else is an enemy to our friend. All of those things. You know, we're not to get caught up in that, but do the right thing. So we go through our trials, but we must count it all joy. There was a man named William Garnall, and he said, wrap your weary souls in God's promise and know that there is a place of rest reserved for the people of God. You do not beat the air, but wrestle to win heaven and the permanent crown. Here on earth, we overcome to fight again. Our temptation may be conquered, but the war remains. When death comes, however, God strikes the final blow. We know peace is sweet after war, pleasure after pain, but what tongue can express the joy that will flood the creature at the first sight of God and his eternal home? If we knew more of that future blissful state, we would worry less about our present conflict. Amen. Amen. Amen to that, I do believe. So, what do I need to change in my life in order to begin to experience joy in the midst of trials? That's the question I want you to repeat after me. Let's do it. What do I need to change in my life in order to begin to experience joy in the midst of trials? Come up with your answer. Only you know. I can't fill in the blank for you. Only you know. But God says to do it. So that means what? It is doable. Joy in trials, my friend, joy in trials. So having said that, we're going to move on to our final segment today, and that's going to be on how to brand you. Now, let me tell you why I struggled with some of this, you know, some years back, because I felt conflicted. I felt that in the church, it was telling me not to love yourself or not to think of yourself and, you know, think of others and do things for others. And in humility, you're not loving yourself. And in humility, you're not all caught up on yourself. But that was because every teacher is not a good teacher. And many times words fly across the pulpit that confuse people. It don't confuse you because you're mature in the faith, but it confuses people that are searching for understanding because they're not there yet. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that immature Christian, maybe they've been coming for 5 or 10 years, but they haven't been coming to any teaching meetings or they haven't really given themselves to much understanding of the word. So when you're preaching, they easily get confused. We're not to, criticize them and put them down, but that's a perfect opportunity to say, oh, well, let me explain that to you. Perfect opportunity. And, you know, I think had somebody told me, it's love yourself. You got to love yourself to love others. Had they explained that to me, you know, I think when I kicked off my first business, I would have done so much better. But anyway, here we are. You know, if you are that awesome counselor that has not been found yet, if you're that coach and you're just trying to reach your target market, you're trying to get the word out to them, you can't afford a publicist or a PR person to do that for you, so you've got to do that. But then you can't afford a marketing individual either, so you've got to do that. And as a sidebar, just want to say, I've been reached out to. People have asked me to do their marketing for them, but when they ask me, they're not trying to respect the skill. And so I would rather do something for you for free than for you to, you know, say something awful to me about what you're going to pay me for what I'm going to do. No, you need to ask what it is that I charge and what can I do to help you and your business and how we can make this work for both of us. Now, I'm just want to say that in general, that's how we should approach people. You know, don't tell them what you're going to pay them to do this. No, ask them what it is that they charge, because everyone is not for everyone else. Okay, so we might be friends, but I might not be your marketer. We might be friends, but you might not be my counselor. You know, so we've got to, let's just appreciate and respect each other's skill. And let's give back sometimes. Let's do some things for free. Why not? I mean, you know, it's a blessing. And that person, if they're happy, you know, they may mention to others, you know, the gift that you gave to them, and they may see how it has worked for that person, and they may find their way to you as a paying customer. Amen? So when we talk about branding yourself, a successful brand can go a long way with self-promotion, conveying loyalty, and offering consistency in the quality that the services will provide. Number one, I want to encourage you to define your brand. Sometimes we are doing what we're doing, but we're not focused. We have not really defined. We have not defined our brand. We must define it. We must really know that we know that we know. You know, for instance, say marketing. I've got to know what kind of marketing that I do best. Maybe I don't market cars as well as I may market an educational program. I may not market tattoos, a tattoo parlor, as well as I can market a fashion design. So we've got to define what it is that we're doing, our product. What is our product there to do? Don't tell me what it is. I know what a T-shirt is, but tell me the benefit of buying your T-shirt. Your T-shirts have positive sayings. Your T-shirts deal with, you know, the black experience, or deals with the female experience. You know, what it is that your particular brand is all about, and become an expert at your brand. I'm a counselor. I counsel women who have been imprisoned. That's my specialty. I'm an expert there. Not me. I'm just giving an example. You can say, I'm a counselor, and I counsel women who have been imprisoned. That's my specialty. or I counsel with children of incarcerated parents. That's my specialty. And I want you to have to find your brand and you know what you're about. Then you can now to start to shape your messaging. You can shape your messaging. You can use such words as collaborative and resourceful and flexible and forward-thinking, connected. I'm a visionary. I'm ethical. You can use these kind of words and different words, of course, that works for your genre in branding yourself. The second thing is you want to establish a presence. You want to establish a presence. So if you Google me personally, you're going to see all kinds of things because I'm a varietal thinker. When I got my degrees, they're all in something different because I have so many interests, but I try and hone them down and bring them into my experience. So if I am teaching something concerning business, I bring my leadership and my management into that experience. If I'm dealing with journalism, I'm going to pull on my business sense, my journal, my management, my leadership, and put that in the mix. So you want to be able to establish a presence. And when people look for you, they'll be able to see what you do, what you have done, and they could look in the middle of all of that and say, oh, well, yeah, she'll be good for what I'm working on. You want to generate brand awareness through networking. You tell one person and ask them, so please, tell three of your friends, and then you can ask them, when you tell three friends, ask them to tell three of their friends, because there's somebody out there that needs what I have to offer. So you want to generate your brand awareness through networking. Networking is one of the best ways to become known in your industry. Then you want to remember the three C's of branding. That's clarity, that's consistency, and that's constancy, right? You want to be clear in who you are and who you're not. You know, I know they may say, listen, I got about $20,000 for a marketer, and I need somebody to come market these cars. Well, I know that $20,000 look real good, especially right through here, but I would have to say, nah, I'll help you find someone, but that's not my area. I don't market cars. To be honest with you, Loretta doesn't even know cars. I know what a Benz looks like. I know what a BMW looks like. Okay, those are my favorites. I could even spot a Lexus. I think some of the older models. I don't really know cars. You know, I'm usually vulnerable on these podcasts. I tell you what I don't know. I don't know cars. I can read what they are, but if I can't see the name of that car, I can't tell you what that car is. So I try and learn the insignias, and that helps me too along the way. So remember clarity, consistency, and constancy. Determine where you want to fit in. That's your genre, your niche, your area, your industry. And then remain visible to those people. Remain visible. I want to say the last thing is get feedback from the people that you know best, the people at your house, the people at your church, the people at your place of business or anywhere, people that you know and that you trust. Branding is very, very important because there's so many programs out here. Everybody's got a cause, or they've got a product, or they've got a service. They've got a training. They've got a course. So how do you distinguish yourself? Use that method to get you started. That's some good stuff. I'm telling you. I want to repeat them for you. I want you to define your brand, become an expert, establish your presence, generate your brand awareness through networking. Remember the three C's, clarity, consistency, and constancy, and then get feedback. That's very, very important. I want to give a shout-out again to the authors that really helped me tonight with my focal points, Cynthia Heald, and also to resources from Five Tips. I want to give a shout-out to them because all of these things work to help us to be a better us in what we're trying to accomplish. We need the physical. We need the natural. You know, we need life outside of church. But then we need the church. We need, I don't want to say church and I don't want to say religion, but we need that scripture. We need the reference. We need, that's our foundation. We need all of that. So I try and bring a little bit of all of that to the podcast every week, because we need to grow, and we need to not just grow in one way and not another. We need to grow. So market you and whatever it is that you're doing, but also remember, it's not going to always be peaches and cream. The road is not going to always be a roady bed of ease. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. You're going to have some challenges. Oh, my God. And we have to have that word to keep us afloat, to remember you can find joy in trials. That could be your time to steal away and to get better acquainted with God while you're going through, because God will see you through. He said, I will deliver you from them all. So you stay encouraged, and thank you for tuning in as we close out Women's History Month. I'll be back here next week. Of course, we're going to talk about that phenomenon, that thing called loneliness, how it creeps up on you, whether you're married or single. Yep, it can creep up on you. I'll be bringing some of that discussion on next week along with my new topic for the week. So, again, thank you so much. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can send your emails to LorettaReviews@gmail.com. That's LorettaReviews@gmail.com. I look forward to corresponding with you. Again, thanks to Kimmy Kim. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is my prayer. This has been the Loretta Petite Show, Women Winning at Life from Ministry to Marketplace. And tomorrow night at 9 p.m., join us in the clubhouse. Look for From Ashes to Beauty, 9 p.m. Central. I'm Loretta Petite. Bye-bye.
I don't wanna pretend, I don't wanna play games. Can't lie to myself, not one more day. Been trying to deal with some things that's hard to talk about. I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts. Been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. Just gonna have to get used to me not being around. on the shelf. Place them far away for another day. Then you take a breath. Keep it moving, that's as good as it gets.